We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time to talk politics. It's Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN.
And welcome to Hardline. This is Kevin Hardwick. Great show for you today. 1 hour from now, live in studio, will be Erie County Controller Stefan Mihailu. Of course, he was one of the possible replacements for Chris Collins on the ballot for the Republican Party. Of course, that never happened. He's also been mentioned as a Republican candidate for county executive next year against Mark Poloncarz. Certainly, we'll talk to him about that. Joining me in the studio for that segment will be Dave Graber of Channel 4 and Ryan Whalen of Spectrum News' Capital Tonight program. So you'll certainly want to stay tuned for that. The first hour, however, we're going to devote to a discussion of what happened, what transpired in America last week. I mean, it was a week I think we'll remember for a long time, in the same way that we remember what happened in November of 1991 when Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Certainly what happened this week. I want to welcome back to the program, however, first my itinerant guest co-host Bill Conrad. Bill has been off for a couple weeks now. A couple weeks ago, he was serving a one-show suspension.
Correct.
That was for inviting a hardline guest to breakfast without inviting the host. And he knows that that was a bad thing. He's contrite. He's repentant. and he's back. He's back. Last week we just didn't need him. But you're not co-hosting the whole program.
Nope.
It's only half.
Nope.
You're still on probation.
I'm on a trial probation.
And you're on your best behavior.
Yeah, double secret probation.
Secret probation. Yes, 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 yes. And if he tries to host a toga party here, well, perhaps in light of what we're discussing this first hour, that wouldn't be an appropriate
metaphor. I have been offered bail money after the show.
Very good. Okay. Also joining me in the studio, attorney Lindy Korn. Lindy has, as you're maybe aware, a lot of experience in sexual harassment cases. She's very much up on the law, and she's a tremendous resource, and we thank her for being here. I want to go first, however, to my other guest, Dr. Jill O'Malley. Dr. Jill O'Malley is a biology professor at SUNY Erie, that institution which we used to call ECC, but we don't call that anymore. It's SUNY Erie. She's also president of the Kenton School Board and the founder of the Kenton Closet, which provides school supplies and clothes to kids in the Tonawanda area. Jill, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Let me just start by getting your reaction to what we all saw last week, because I didn't watch all of the hearing. I didn't see all of Dr. Ford's testimony. I didn't see all of the questions for Judge Kavanaugh, but I saw enough of it to have an impression. What was your impression?
I guess I probably watched that with a different type of mindset. Wasn't really looking at it to try to figure out who was guilty or innocent. And in my mind, this was a very public display of a job interview, essentially. And, you know, I posted a question to my friends: with what you saw and directly observed, would you allow this person to be the superintendent of schools? If you were on an interview committee and this is the behavior that you were observing. And, you know, of course, I have friends all over the place that have different views, so we've gotten a lot of different feedback. But in all honesty, I think if people are trying to draw the conclusion of who is guilty or innocent, they're losing sight of the bigger picture of what we were actually witnessing.
So I think what you're saying is, based on what you saw, you can't evaluate whether he said or she said, which is right. But based on what you saw in his opening statement and his answer to the questions the other night, that he disqualified himself? Is that what you're arguing? Because I've heard that argument from other people.
I don't believe he's I can't impugn his work as a judge. I'm not familiar with what he's done up to this point, but I do not think he's the best. I don't think he is eligible to be one of the nine. You know, just his making a comment about the left. I guess I lose faith that somebody can be neutral in that position and also remain composed, because you will receive death threats. You will receive pressure. And I'm not certain that he showed composure under that type of pressure. That would lend me to believe he would be the best of the best.
Bill, it was kind of strange opening up, going after the Clintons, going after the Democrats. I mean, that's just, you talk about judicial temperament, that was certainly not it.
No, you keep hearing about the who is it and what side, and you're going to absolutely view this based on your politics. You know, I have very conservative friends that believe him. I have very conservative friends that don't know. I have very liberal friends that are saying I believe her. You know, it really depends on where you are on the spectrum, where you fall. But I have to agree.
This has been even more polarizing than the thing. Or it's an extension of what's been going on for a couple years now.
Without a doubt.
Or a couple decades.
You know, I've heard comments from, could you imagine, you know, that being you, Bill? You know, where something comes out from your past? You know what I mean? These conversations are happening, you know. Go ahead.
Well, and it's justified. I mean, if he didn't do any of this, then his life has been destroyed, and his family's life, as has hers. Lindy Korn, you know, you do this sort of thing. I mean, more sexual harassment, I would assume, than sexual assault. That's handled by prosecutors.
There's a crossover. I've been an attorney for 39 years. I've been hearing women's stories. And really, this is about power and the abuse of power. And when you talk about sexual harassment, yes, that's civil. But the point is, when you're taking someone's history, when you're listening to someone's story, often, in fact, most of the time, there has been either a rape or a sexual assault or an unwelcome touching, a molestation, that was somewhere between when the person was born to when they came to me. So one of the things I think we really have to be sensitive to is there is a tremendous cry from women of all different political backgrounds, of all different educational, economic backgrounds, whether you want to call it diversity of sex and sexual violence. I don't know what you want to call it, but if we were to take stories from people who work, women who are climbing up a ladder or not, but people who have to make a living, you're going to hear stories of how sex, sexual pleasure, sexual favoritism, sexual stereotyping, quid pro quo, a this for a that, all of that is part of their work life. And people who've been sexually assaulted and listen to what we've been listening to, whether it's divorced from politics, instead of talking about interpretations of the Constitution, we're talking about gender issues and how we treat each other and sexual violence.
In terms of the current problem before the Judiciary Committee and before America, I mean, you know, as I said, I listened to a lot, as much as I could have the other day. And, you know, like a lot of people, I don't know what happened. I certainly find Dr. Ford's testimony very credible.
Very, very riveting.
Yeah. And on the other hand, you know, there's no corroboration, and I know that Judge Kavanaugh said, well, you know, her people, she said, were there, refuted it. That wasn't actually what they did. But, and I'm not going to get into the details there, but, you know, how Lindy Korn, what can you tell me based on your experience? How can I evaluate these? I mean, there have been cases in the past of, you know, false accusations, and they're very, you know, I mean, they've been cited over and over again, what happened at Duke and mm-hmm. whatnot.
Sure.
And they come in, but, you know, they're the poster child on the right for what this is. You know, they're saying, well, this is just another case of that.
To be fair, other people are
saying, no, it's this, and there are very credible accusations over here. It's like Bill Cosby or something else.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, you just don't know which this is. Based on your experience, how can I evaluate the testimony the other day?
Well, I mean, this is it's a matter of evaluating one's judgment. Just pretend you were a juror when you're watching this. And whatever the FBI may provide some other information. But you have to look and see what little facts don't connect. It's not necessarily the big picture, but when someone's talking and they say something and then there's fact-checking, and indeed they have not told the truth about something, those little mistruths, if indeed mm-hmm. they are, and I do not know. I'm not, you know, evaluating this case. I'm not with the FBI. I don't know. But I do know credibility is assessed like baby steps. So there was a woman, Liz Swisher, I believe her name is, who was, I believe, on the Don Lemon show. I'm not sure. But she was talking about there were certain, she went to Yale with Judge Kavanaugh, and she was saying that she doesn't know anything about the sexual assault piece, but she does know that there were certain statements he made about his behavior regarding drinking, his behavior about, you know, going to parties. And she said she would have stayed on the sideline, but he wasn't credible to her. That's something you have to evaluate.
I see. Listen, we have to take a break now, but when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about this testimony, and specifically about some of those facts, some of the questioning of Judge Kavanaugh. We have to take a break now. When we come back, again, we'll be sitting here with Jill O'Malley, Lindy Korn, and Bill, what's his name, the guy from Tonawanda, Bill Conrad, double secret probation. In the meantime, I'm Kevin Hardwick. You're listening to Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN. And welcome back to Hardline. Kevin Hardwick here, sitting with my guest co-host, probationer Bill Conrad, Lindy Korn, attorney, and Jill O'Malley, president of the Kenton School Board, also a biology professor at SUNY Erie, formerly known as ECC. Listen, one of our texters texted in. Took umbrage with talking about Judge Kavanaugh's temperament, saying he's not suited. I got to tell you, a lot of people said, well, you know, you would have behaved that way too if you were innocent and you were attacked and you would have been indignant. And I agree.
Like, well, isn't the mantra innocent before proven guilty?
If that were me and I had done nothing, I would be upset. But I got to tell you, you go back and you look at what Clarence Thomas did, his opening remarks after he had been accused by Anita Hill, and you watch that, it was very much the same thing. He said, this is a travesty, and he was upset. But he carried his indignation a lot better than Judge Kavanaugh. He Yes. kept under control. I think Judge Kavanaugh lost it, and it wasn't only in his opening statement, which was just bizarre, going after the Clintons and going after this. I mean, that's okay if you're a senator or a councilman in Tonawanda or whatever.
Sure.
But you can't do that.
No.
You can't do that if you want to sit on the highest court of the land.
Because it is a court of public opinion at this point, right?
And then, yes. And then, the answer to some of those questions, and do you like to drink, Senator? Did you ever black out, turn it around? That just wasn't the way. And Jill, you talked about being a job interview. If that was a job interview and I'm looking at this guy for my court, I'm saying no. I mean, if that was the only thing, and I know there are a lot of other things out there, but I just think, like I say, Clarence Thomas handled it a lot better. And that's not to take a position on whether Clarence Thomas or Anita Hill was telling the truth, because I don't know.
If you look back at his comments, I think one of the things he said, this is a high class lynching or something.
He played the race card. He talked about, you know, way you treat high-tech lynching. He mentioned the way you treat uppity blacks for deigning to, you know, think for themselves or whatever. Yeah, it was very effective. I thought it was very effective on Clarence Thomas's part. Jill, you wanted to talk about locker rooms.
Well, that's a great segue.
That is a great segue.
I like
here,
that.
You should be around for the breaks. She's just chomping at the bit, wanting to talk about locker rooms. You've been in a few.
Well, I have, yes. I used to work as a trainer. Started for the SU men's hockey team back in undergrad, and then as a chiropractor, worked here with the Buffalo Gladiators and spent a lot of time working as a trainer for football and hockey teams. And I would say that I have probably a pretty high threshold for what is offensive to me. I know that I chose to be in that environment, but everybody has personal boundaries. And I think that's, you know, at the heart of what we get at. You know, you want to teach your children. I want to teach my sons that no means no, and I want to teach my daughter what is acceptable for her body. And that's where the boundary lies. You know, I do believe that something happened to this woman. I would agree with that. As to he said, she said, I guess it's all just really speculation. But my thought is that, you know, everybody has their own boundaries. And
Well, Lindy, let me ask you. I remember after the Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill brush up. I mean, that's the first time I ever heard the phrase sexual harassment. And I think it was that way for a lot of people in America. And we learned a lot about that after that. And as a man, as a white man, I said, this is kind of scary. What are the boundaries? How do you know where they are? Because as Jill says, everybody's tolerance for this stuff is different, where something might not be as offensive to Jill. It might be more offensive to you or someone else. How do I, as a guy, know, you know?
I don't think it's that difficult.
Right. I would agree with that.
Sex is, that's just an excuse. Sorry. Well, but the point is,
it's an excuse, but it's my excuse,
I'm
interested.
Entitled to it, but I don't buy it.
Okay.
The point is that sexual harassment is about power and the abuse of power regarding the body. If someone says no and you say yes, guess what? You've crossed a line.
Understood. But when we talk about and again, we're getting away from the Kavanaugh thing. I think we're getting over more into the Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas thing. If the whole hostile workplace,
it's not that easy.
We've all been in workplaces, and Jill says she's been in locker rooms about athletes, and there's a certain amount of sexual banter there, and there probably is a line somewhere, but it's tough to tell exactly where that line is.
You have to draw it, and I'm not, because everybody is different. What Lindy's level of acceptability. My mother was the only girl child, so I had all uncles, brothers. I didn't even have a girl cousin in my family born. So that just in general, being around that is a different threshold. But you have to define that, and I think that's where the line gets crossed. If you've told somebody, this is my boundary, and that person repeatedly
But Lindy, if someone doesn't tell the boundary, my understanding is, at least coming out of Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill, that I should know where that boundary was. And if I'm the employer...
First of all, it happens everywhere.
Yeah.
Whether it's a church, whether it's a college, whether
sure.
the Supreme Court,
yes.
a courthouse. This is about, communication and... something severe
I'll
or
I'll tell
pervasive.
You what, we have to take a break because Neil McManus is standing by with news headlines, bottom of the hour, and he'll get really mad if we go on longer. But Lindy, we'll start with you after the break. In the meantime, I'm Kevin Hardwick. You're listening to Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN. And thank you for Joe Beamer for at least being awake and telling me that we're coming back, because I almost missed that. Joe, congratulations, by the way, on yesterday's big Virginia Tech victory. He's given us the thumbs up. Developments during the break. Bill Conrad's probation is going to be extended because now he's egging on the guests.
I am not
egging on them. Getting them all riled up and turning on me.
That came out of their own volition.
What you're about to hear is Attorney Lindy Korn, and Bill has got her all jacked up, and she wants to say something, and much of this is directed at me.
I said Kevin should be on probation.
Yes, you did.
I agree.
But Lindy, you had something to say before the break, and unfortunately that bad man Neil McManus had to come in with the news.
Yeah, I wanted to say that for a sexual harassment case to be something that's viable is very difficult. It has to be something that is severe or pervasive. You have to have a lot of facts. You have to be able to prove them. Plaintiffs are disbelieved all the time. This is not something that, some conversation about, gee, I don't know what's consensual or not. No, you know. And I'm saying that the fear that we are hearing now from if we're going to make this a gender war, the fear we're hearing from men is because there's something behind their questioning, perhaps their past or their present. The point of the matter is, if a woman says no, if a woman complains, it's hard to complain.
And
there's a lot of blame and shame, just like we're seeing here, just like we saw with Anita Hill. I think Anita Hill should be on the Supreme Court.
And again, what I was talking about before the break was when the woman doesn't say no, and the case of hostile work environment, there's some sexual banter in the workplace. I mean, I think we've all been around that. And no one says anything, and all of a sudden come in and there's a suit. But you're telling me during the break that that just doesn't happen.
No, it does not.
Okay, that's important. Listen, after we're going to talk for a couple more minutes, but after the break, last 10 minutes or so of this hour, we will take some phone calls. So if you want to start lining up, 803-0930 is the number to call, 803-0930. Bill, do you feel better about what you've heard today? As a man on probation,
I don't know if I'm qualified to speak.
Let me put that in context. He's not on probation for anything other than his actions on Hardline.
Thank you.
Asking a guest out for the breakfast and not inviting
Linda
me.
Linda said she'd represent me.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, there you go.
I felt it might come to this.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Like me, you're a guy. You had to have questions about what's going on. And
absolutely. The first thing that comes into mind is the distance of this time. We talk about what's credible in court and what isn't. You get into these conversations with people, how difficult it is for a woman to come forward under this type of duress. We were talking during the break that, I bartended or I bounced at a bar and I saw all terrible types of things going on. And in the conversation, is we want to be able to give people that have been through this power to come forward. But, one of the questions I keep coming back to is this just political? Is this to make the GOP, look bad? I don't know. What's your thoughts?
I think that because of the #MeToo movement and Time's Up, mm-hmm. I think that there's a groundswell for the very first time. And to some degree, I'd say, what have we learned from Anita Hill? And the thing is that women are now feeling that they have a chance to be heard and be believed. And that's quite precious in the history of this country.
Bill, you mentioned, is this political? And a number of the texters texting in make the point, well, what about Clinton? What about Keith Ellison?
Absolutely.
What about the Democrats? And the point that needs to be made is, they should get the same scrutiny as Judge Kavanaugh is.
Of course.
That's not an excuse either way. Those people, if they're accused of these things, and in the past, of course, they've been given a pass by some of the same people who are going after Judge Kavanaugh, and that's hypocrisy. But there's enough hypocrisy to go around on both sides.
Absolutely.
That point needs to be made.
Yeah,
right,
but there's
Jill?
An assumption that people who we all supported Bill Clinton and we're turning a blind eye here, and that's just frankly not true. And one of the other points that comes up is the timing of this. And I really just, whether it's political maligning or not, one thing is certain. If I have a sexual harassment in my background, maybe I keep that to myself for whatever reason. I've moved on. I don't want to discuss it. But if that person is going to become in a position of power where they will have dominion over some of these things, I think that's what is pushing the timing of this. I really do believe that.
I think also going along with that is, what are we teaching our daughters and sons? Teenage sexual harassment is a horrific problem. Because if adults find it hard to complain, you can imagine when someone goes in for the first time and they're young, and there are people who are addicted to youth and sexual harassment. So there are messages about.
I called for calls after the break. We're not to the break yet, but I am going to take one call. It's one of my guests from last week, Bob Klump, who is pre-law advisor at Canisius College, a colleague of mine, and a past guest on this show. Bob, welcome back to the program. I didn't think I'd be hearing from you this soon.
Well, I'm here, Kevin.
You're good to know you're awake. Obviously you want to weigh in on this.
Yeah. And my question has to do with, and I might direct it toward Lindy or your other guest or both of them, for mm-hmm. the with respect to Ms. Katz, who is the attorney for Dr. Ford, and she's a well-known sexual harassment specialist herself. And Kevin, to your point that it may well be that Judge Kavanaugh's response at the hearing to the accusations in terms of alleging the Clinton connection was intemperate, but there's certainly some reality behind it, because Ms. Katz is a longtime Democratic donor, and more to the point, she has Clinton connections. And going back to 1998, she, who is now advising Dr. Ford, said with respect to Paula Jones's accusations against Bill Clinton, I'm quoting here, she said back in 1998, clearly a one-time incident that took place in 10 to 12 minutes. Paula Jones was not forced to have sex. She left on her own volition. The courts increasingly are finding it is not enough to create a sexually hostile work environment claim. So the question I would have for your guests is, do you think that the same standard we're seeking to apply now, if we were to apply it to, let's say, Bill Clinton, did Paula Jones, Kathleen Willey, Juanita Broderick, did they deserve this new presumption of truth that we seem to be investing in the 40s?
Bob, thank you for making that point. I think it's one that I kind of tried to circle around, but I think you've done a much better job of it. Linda, your response.
I am not going to say that this is a purely political issue. You know what? We're learning as we go along. We didn't learn much from Anita Hill, but here it is again. So where there's a pattern, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or you're a Republican or you're an independent or you're a conservative. I don't care what your political background is. It's about judgment. And to be on the Supreme Court of the United States, you have to have good judgment. And the treatment of women and women who have who prove that they have been assaulted and they have been harassed and they have been touched in an unwelcome fashion. All of those women everywhere should be heard. And if men are innocent, if it's a male-female thing, then the case will fail. So, you know, to say, is there one standard? Yes, there's one standard. Yes, it should be applied equally. And every case depends on the specifics. But right now, we're talking about a job interview for the Supreme Court of the United States. I want Anita Hill.
Bob, thank you for calling. We're up against a break. When we return, we'll take more of your phone calls. If Tim Wenger is listening, I want to apologize to him for breaking his station. I think the text board has exploded today. The phone lines are exploding. I don't think we've ever seen this much volume, at least when I've been in here. Perhaps we should schedule another show for this. But we'll try to do the best we can in the 15 minutes left in this show. And then it'll be on to boring Stefan Mihailu, who, by the way, brought donuts. He's here. We'll be back in a few minutes after these spots. I'm Kevin Hardwick. You're listening to Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN. And that's Joe Beamer wants it to be the official Buffalo Bill song, right? This is alternative pregame show for the Buffalo Bills.
This was actually Neil McManus's call.
This was Neil McManus. It wants to be Allentown, as in Josh Allen.
That's right.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you have to explain it, I'm not sure it works. But
I don't think you had to explain
Bills game coming up. We've got a few more minutes here with Bill Conrad, with Lindy Korn, with Jill O'Malley. I'm headed, by the way, if you want to talk about this further with me, right after, up until kickoff, the Clean Air Coalition of Western New York has a fundraiser today, $25. It's around the Bills game. It starts at noon. I'm probably going to leave by kickoff, but I'm headed there right after. It's at Buffalo Iron Works, 49 Illinois Street in Buffalo. Again, it starts at noon. It's $25. Good cause there. Let me ask Jill, are you glad that the Republicans agreed to an FBI investigation for a week? Is that going to answer anything, or is that a good sign? Is that going to pull people together? Do you think they're going to find anything?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I really, if you look at people's view of the FBI and their investigations, maybe there isn't that feeling of warm, fuzzy love and neutrality.
That we don't
there.
Trust the FBI.
I mean, I don't want to be Fox Mulder or anything.
Yeah, no.
I'll
tell you what. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Tony and Clarence. Tony, welcome to the program. Thank you for holding.
Yeah, good morning. First of all, the important thing to remember is Senator Patrick Leahy asked Ms. Ford, what was the one thing she remembered during the entire process of her being nearly raped, and that was the laughter of the two men in the room at her expense. Now, that is something that is indelible in her mind. She even talked about hypothalamus and all that she remembered this as an indelible mark, that they laughed at her expense. And by the way, this Kavanaugh guy lied about three or four other things during the hearings, including material that was stolen from Patrick Leahy and other people. that he used. He also remembered that this hearings were a sham, that Republicans would not allow the information that was when he was the secretary to the president about torture. This guy is a liar, and he's a drunk.
Tony, does it? Some people have pointed out, to your point about Dr. Ford remembering certain things, that she didn't remember other things, that she didn't remember how she got there, how she got home, et cetera. Does that bother you, or does that say anything to you?
She was at a country club. She talked about that. There wasn't enough there to talk that would indict this man in any hearing. Ask the lady that you have on. If it's a certain memory that a person has as they're being sexually assaulted, doesn't matter. Ask her.
That's okay, I will do that. Tony, thank you for the call.
Well, we call those flashbulb memories, right?
What's that? I'm sorry?
We call those flashbulb memories. You know, you were something...
Says the biologist from SUNY Erie. Yes, Jill O'Malley.
So you recall those things. I mean, we all remember where we were on September 11th when we heard the news. Do you remember what you ate for breakfast that day or what you were wearing? I mean, there are going to be things that stand out and are ingrained in... you know, our memories associated with those traumatic moments, but we're not going to recall every single detail.
Okay, let's go back to the phones to John in Rochester. John, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Kevin. I got to say, both their testimonies, I thought, were very credible.
Credible, yes.
The thing that bothers me is that she had no corroboration. And that kind of bothers me. The other issue, too, is her political viewpoints are very left, and she's a psychologist. And I'm one.
Yeah. But by that token, his are very right, and it really shouldn't matter what your political viewpoints are. But you're right about her not having corroboration. It would have been really, really nice if her lifelong friend, you know, who she identified as being there, had said, "Yeah, the party happened, and I remember some things about that." But I'm sure we'll throw it around the table, and someone will point out, and I think it's a good point that that was not a remarkable night for the friend, and you know, it was just one of many parties. But if this happened to you, you would remember that. I mean, I've heard both sides, which leaves me probably where you are, John, which I don't know what happened.
Well, right. The thing that bothers me also, I'm just wondering if she did a great acting job. Psychologist, well educated. She could have been. I think because of her political beliefs, she might think this is a big, she wants to defuse nomination for the good of the country.
You know? All right, John, we're running short on time, so I'm going to have to let you go. Thanks for bringing that point, and I'll let Lindy Korn respond to it.
Yeah, I understand you and the other caller are like potential jurors, so you're both entitled to the way you analyze things you know, but there's a lot we don't know. That's why we need the investigation. But I just want to point out, no woman who has been assaulted wants to go on national news and media and bring forth something that they claim happened to them and that was painful. It really takes a lot of courage to do that.
I would not disagree with that. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Rick in Cheektowaga. Rick, welcome to the program.
Yes, I don't recall the name of the woman guest you have there. She bragged about being in men's sports locker rooms.
Well, she was a trainer, yes. And it wasn't so much bragging. Jill O'Malley said that, yeah, she's been there, and she was making a point. Go on, Rick.
Well, that was pretty much all I wanted to clarify. Just exactly what was she doing hanging around in men's locker rooms?
And that wasn't hanging around. If you notice, if you watch any athletic events, there are women trainers that are there to attend to injuries that the athletes may have. Women have been on the sidelines actually for many, many years, and women have been practicing medicine for even longer than that. So that was actually my job, was to respond to athletic injuries. I wasn't hanging around the locker room.
Yeah. That okay, Rick? All right. That was Rick on the locker room. Listen, let's go to this. Let's go to one more phone call. Try to squeeze one in. Marcus in Middleport. Marcus, welcome to the program.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, I have a question. There's women that would go and testify falsely against people, and I'm going to speak from a different aspect. You throw in a racial component. I'm African American. Last 100 years, we've had pogroms in this country by some accused of rape. Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Rose Floor, Fairfax, Virginia, all over the country. And you look at even the story of Emmett Lewis, all he did was smile at a Caucasian woman. You see the before and after of his picture, and they said he was molested, he was shot, stabbed, throat cut, face kicked in, and he was still alive and they drowned him. And a woman just said earlier this year.
Marcus, thank you for bringing that up. We only have about a minute left in the program, and I want to squeeze in a comment from Lindy on that. Lindy, a good point.
Yes, I mean, this is bringing up issues of equality, and everybody's voice needs to be heard. This is not something you rush through. We need more information. In my opinion, I don't think there should be a narrowly confined investigation. I think we need information. We need facts. We need to judge. We need more. We don't know enough.
I think you sense on the panel today, I think you sense certainly on the texters and the callers, frustration with the process, frustration with where we are. And I don't know whether we resolved anything today or not in this quick hour. But I am pleased that you were here because I think it's going to take more discussions like this, and maybe we'll do this again in the not-too-distant future. So I want to thank my guests this first hour, Lindy Korn, attorney, Jill O'Malley, biology professor at SUNY Erie and president of the Kenton School Board. And I even want to thank probationer Bill Conrad.
Thanks.
We got the news now. When we come back, it's Stefan Mihailu for the next hour. I'm Kevin Hardwick. You're listening to Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.